All righty, what's going on, folks? I am your host, Kyle Allen, and this is the Next Man Up Injury Podcast. It is good to be back. I am joined once again by the dynamic duo of Matthew Walters and Eric Crail. Gentlemen, how are we doing tonight?
Doing great.
I'm awesome. I'm 6-0 in all of my leagues, if anyone's wondering.
Yes, you are awesome. That is quite impressive, and I'm sure completely true as well.
Yeah, entirely truthful.
No less.
I cannot say the same for myself, unfortunately. We were talking about before we hopped on here how poorly mine and Matthew's redraft squads are doing. I can't figure it out. There's certain players that I took, and I was really just like, oh, they're going to be great this year. Antonio Gibson was a player that I was really low on last year, and I was obviously wrong in that. And so I was really hyped for him this year, and then I draft him, and he's just kind of there.
I was so high on Antonio Gibson coming into this year, but I actually saw something the other day. What's funny is, like, he's actually, like, staying right at the level of where he was drafted. So it's just he's not blowing our expectations out of the water like we wanted.
Yeah, his receiving work is really low.
Yeah.
You have to wonder if that's not a Ryan Fitzpatrick or Taylor Heinicke thing.
That is a very interesting thing. I was going to mention that, but we'll get to it when we start talking about QB injuries.
Ooh, alluding.
Just a little foreshadowing for you. Thanks, Eric. All righty. Well, here at the Next Man Up, we do have a saying that the best ability is availability, because we know, especially once we start getting into weeks like this week, where we have bye weeks interfering, it's tough for a player to score points for your fantasy team when they're not available. If they're hurt, if they're on bye week, they don't help you much. So we're going to help you figure out not only what to do in the interim, but who to replace them with. How are you going to get those points that you're missing from your studs? So for the sake of organization, we'll kick things off with quarterbacks. Starting in Cleveland with Baker Mayfield. So he had a left shoulder injury earlier in the season, Eric. I wanted to start with Eric. Left shoulder injury earlier in the season. He was playing through it, but then this week he re-aggravated it. What can you tell us about his status moving on?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's not good for him as an athlete or for you, the public, as a fantasy manager. Realistically, he should get the surgery ASAP, but he's an athlete. And if he can play at a reasonably high level, he will. He's had this injury for a couple weeks now, and he's been fine. It's his non-throwing injury. But if you watch the game, you know, in a few instances, you know, before he re-aggravated it, you could see that he's going to block defenders and, you know, he's hiding his non-throwing shoulder. I think really the bad news, honestly, is that he could be knocked out of the game with any sack. You know, even if he does play this Thursday, I think it is, you know, how can you rely on him as a fantasy player? You know, I think he told the media that it's a pain tolerance issue, and that's entirely what it is. I mean, it's not going to affect the mechanics of his throwing too much. But it's worth mentioning that, you know, I think Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt are both suffering from injuries, and, you know, whether or not they play are going to have a big impact on how much the team relies on Baker Mayfield to gamble and make a crazy play and win the game. So, you know, I don't trust him enough to start him in any of my one quarterback leagues. And if I had a comparable option, I'd swap him out in all of my super flex leagues too.
Yeah. Mayfield's mobility is something that I feel like definitely helps him, not necessarily his running upside, but more his ability to kind of evade a pass rush and create and extend plays. So without your top two running backs and you're already a little banged up, it's certainly going to make his game a little more one-dimensional. Matthew, speaking of a quarterback that's known for being able to extend plays, let's talk about Dak Prescott. So he's dealing with a calf injury right now. What do we know about him and his outlook this week?
Well, he's on a bye this week, so we're good there. But so he injured his calf the last play of the game, the touchdown to CeeDee Lamb. And then, of course, I'm running around celebrating. And then later in the day, I hear that Dak's calf is injured. And I'm like, what the heck? Like, when? But the good news is Dak said if it had happened earlier in the game, he would have been able to play through it. Now, take that with a grain of salt, being an athlete talking about their injury. But they also do have the bye week this week. So he has 2 weeks to fully recover from it. I doubt he misses any time with it. It's just going to be a matter of letting it heal. It doesn't sound like it was that severe of a calf strain, not like some of the running backs we might talk about later. But Yeah, so
maybe.
Luckily for Dak, he's got a bye week. Unlucky for us that we're not able to actually play him this week because of the bye week.
Was it
You can correct. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. What was it? Was it actually his same injury as the ankle that he broke, Matt?
Same side.
Same side.
I'm not 100% sure. I believe which ankle did he break? Was it his right? I'm trying to think back.
I'm totally forgetting. You're the Cowboys.
I think it is the same. I think it is now that I'm.
That's an image that I tried to expunge from my mind, and I really don't want to bring it back up.
I'm just trying to picture which. I'm just trying to picture which leg he was slamming into the ground to pop it back in.
I want to say it was left. Yeah, that's the image that won't leave my mind. Is him just like using his foot as a hammer?
I don't remember. I think it was the same leg though.
If it is, that kind of matters.
It definitely does.
Yeah.
We'll see. I don't.
We'll look into it, and we'll give the people an update. We need a young Jamie looking stuff up for us. All righty. Speaking of quarterbacks and calves, Jimmy Garoppolo a couple of weeks ago kind of mysteriously left a game with a calf injury, and suddenly Trey Lance took over. However, the next week he was unavailable due to the same calf injury, so it may be real after all. But now the 49ers have a little bit of a dilemma because Garoppolo is still listed to have that calf injury. And Trey Lance now is listed questionable with a knee injury. Eric, what's going on in San Francisco? Who's going to be starting under center for them?
Yeah, I mean, calf injuries aren't anything to turn your nose up at. George Kittle got put on IR for one, and he's a tough son of a gun. I think the bye week did Garoppolo a huge service, and I think he'll play this week. As for Lance, they might take their time nursing him back to full health. I mean, they just invested huge draft capital to acquire their new face of the franchise. And a part of that decision was because Trey Lance's ability to make plays with his legs. So, you know, I wouldn't count on Lance being available until maybe the last third of the season, you know, even if they wanted to test it. But, you know, I just think that Garoppolo has a much better chance to play. They're gunning for the Super Bowl. It seemed minor, honestly. You know, but as for Trey Lance, it's a much more legitimate injury that could be devastating if they don't take carefully.
Yeah, and he's another one of those quarterbacks that's known for his mobility, and he has a good chance to have rushing upside. So it'll be interesting to see once he gets back this season if he's as mobile or if he's kind of playing a little cautious. All righty. So with these injuries going around, if you're starting any of these quarterbacks, especially ones on bye, excuse me for missing that fact earlier with Dak. Whether they're on bye or whether they're out, you're obviously looking to replace them. So good news, we do have a couple of quarterbacks that are expected to potentially be back this week. First, with Tyrod Taylor in Houston. Now, I don't think there will be much controversy if he takes the starting job back from Davis Mills, but do you guys feel like it's realistic for him to be back this week, or is it kind of a up in the air thing for Tyrod Taylor?
I mean, they're saying right now, coach is saying that he's day to day. So to me, that means he still is dealing with something there. I know Eric has talked about hamstrings over and over and over and over on the pod. So there's always a chance for a setback with him. But like you said, they're playing Davis Mills right now, and he's not really winning them games. So I would not be surprised to see Tyrod Taylor back. Also would not be surprised if we get a setback or if they take their time getting him back. I don't know what Eric thinks about that, but
yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I think it's exactly like, you know, following the Christian McCaffrey saga. Like, you just have to figure out, you know, what's his trend line? You know, is he partial practice, full practice, full practice? I think they want him to play over Davis Mills. So just, you know, follow the practice reports, and I think that'll be your guiding light for him.
Yeah, I certainly don't blame them wanting him to play over Davis Mills. As a fantasy manager, if he's available in your league, are you trying to pick up Tyrod Taylor? And if so, like, what caliber of player would you be willing to drop for him?
Colin Johnson.
So not a whole lot.
I'm not picking him up in a 1QB league. And 2QB or super flex, I think there's a potential for him, but most people's leagues where it's 1QB, I'm not touching him.
It's not worth the risk. Alrighty, so moving on to Washington. So here we have, some might say, a little bit of a QB battle going on. Taylor Heineke's been up fairly serviceable quarterback for the football team. But Ryan Fitzpatrick is looking at a possible return this week or next week from his hip injury. Who do we think ends up winning the job? Eric, we'll go to you first as the resident Washington football team fan.
Yeah, I mean, as a Washington football team homer, I think that Ron Rivera signed Fitzpatrick to a one-year deal with the intention of using him as a possible Super Bowl contending signal caller while we wait for our franchise quarterback to arrive in the draft. I think that Heinicke has played honorably. I mean, he wasn't, you know, signed to do this necessarily. I think it's always been Fitzpatrick's job, but you know, the team has had quarterbacks like this in the past. And I'm immediately thinking of Colt McCoy where, you know, when called upon, he was fine. He actually looked like he could be, you know, a starting caliber quarterback on some team.
Yeah, absolutely.
But he always falls into, you know, the serviceable backup, you know, the guy that's just ready to roll when called upon. So, you know, I think that if Fitzpatrick is cleared, you know, in the next couple of weeks, which it seems like he will be pretty soon, then I think he'll play over Heinicke pretty definitively.
Yeah, Heinicke's like Josh McCown with wheels.
Yeah, I love that.
All righty. Anything else with the quarterbacks that I missed or that we need to talk about? All righty. Moving on to our running backs. Now, the running back position is one of the ones that I was discussing earlier. With bye weeks, it's especially tricky this week. But we're going to talk about injuries first, and then we'll kind of go through a couple of guys that we might look for to be the next man up this week. Matthew, Antonio Gibson is dealing with a calf injury of his own. How severe are we looking at, and can we expect him to be ready to go soon?
We also got to remember he's also dealing with a stress fracture in his leg as well. So his lower legs seem to kind of be falling apart right now, which to me, the extent of the calf injury really isn't clear right now. It could end up being something like Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, which we'll talk about later, in which there's some real concern there. But to me personally, the stress fracture concerns me more because the stress fracture isn't going to get, like, they were trying to manage it and play through it, but it's not going to get better as long as we're playing. Really, the only way for a stress fracture to heal is to rest. And so I'm fairly worried about Antonio Gibson at this point in time, just with the calf injury, with the stress fracture. So if you own him, I'd be looking to really pick up JD McKissick because it seems like he's going to get the first crack at everything. And Washington's probably going to be playing from behind and need to throw the ball, but kind of maybe a deeper add and deep benches or in dynasties if he just happens to still be on the waiver wire is Jarrett Patterson, because Washington's going to get them both involved if Antonio Gibson does miss time, which there's a very real possibility that's going to happen.
Shout out the Buffalo Bulls, Jarrett Patterson.
What was it, 8 touchdowns that's, in a game last year?
8 touchdowns in a game, something crazy. Now that is what we're talking about for the next man up. If you're missing points in your bye week, get you 8 touchdowns in one game. I don't expect that at the NFL level at all from Jarrett Patterson, but my goodness, that would certainly break some records. Alrighty, Baltimore, the revolving door, the carousel, whatever you want to call it, the orthopedic ward at the hospital, I guess, for their running backs. We're just going to add another one to the list. Latavius Murray dealing with an ankle injury. Eric, can we expect anything out of him anytime soon, or are we just going down the depth chart and Devonta Freeman is a starter in the NFL again?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to tell right now, but just from watching the camera tape and listening to the dialogue from John Harbaugh, it feels like Latavius can play this week. I mean, I believe that the Ravens feel comfortable with any one of the 3 veteran backs they signed, and you know, they were on their way to blowing out the Chargers anyway, so why not just plug in the next guy? It's possible that Latavius ends up just not feeling totally right, you know, heading into the end of the week or, you know, Sunday morning even. And the Ravens decide again, you know, hey, why don't we just plug in the next guy? But this feels like a small injury to me. I think it's a case where you just follow the practice reports.
Yeah, certainly one to keep an eye on. And I mean, Baltimore is a Todd Gurley away from signing all of the old veteran running backs that came into the season as a free agent. I don't know. Maybe we'll see like Barry Sanders come back or something. All righty, Matthew, we didn't have a show last week, so we didn't really get to discuss this at length, but Christian McCaffrey. Now, Carolina has put him on the IR. So when can we realistically expect to see him back? And when he is back, what do we expect?
Well, when you're placed on IR, it's at least 3 weeks at that point. So at the very least, 3 weeks. But yeah, he was not placed originally on IR with the hamstring, which, and the week leading up to the game, he was starting to get back to practice. And there was reports that like, oh, Christian McCaffrey's going to play this week. Now, I fully believe, now they never said this, at least to my knowledge, but I fully believe there had to have been a setback somewhere. Because otherwise, it just doesn't make sense that he's going to play. Oh, let's put him on IR now. Because to me, you would have placed him on IR 2 or 3 weeks ago had that been the case, or had there not been a setback. Now, so he's going to miss at least 3 weeks. We don't truly know the extent of the setback. Obviously, the first injury, they weren't concerned enough to put him at IR on that point. But then as Eric preaches, hamstrings are very fickle. And obviously, return is not guaranteed. You always get a kind of a timeline, but then setbacks happen. And so for now, you're riding with Chuba Hubbard as your running back in Carolina. And he seems to be getting quite a bit of work and doing okay with it. But it's just sad that this is the second year in a row where Christian McCaffrey is kind of being marred by injuries, in which when he's out there, he's still great. He's still getting you 30 fantasy points a game. But when is he out there? And to me, I'm kind of starting to question his injury history a little bit. This is growing concern for me. And I did see something where for the first time in over a year on Keep Trade Cut, Christian McCaffrey is not the dynasty running back one overall. Oh. He had dropped to number two. So
who's number one?
I did not see who was number one, but should be Derrick Henry, honestly. But
even in dynasty right now, he's unreal. Alrighty. Yeah. Christian McCaffrey. I'm speaking of dynasty with Christian McCaffrey. I'm curious to see dynasty redraft any format, really, to see what his draft stock does. If this trend kind of continues throughout the year, even if he gets to come back and he plays, you know, the last 7-8 weeks of the season, is his draft stock going to plummet? Well, probably won't plummet, but will it drop some next season? Because this year, even, you know, you could have said, all right, last year was a fluke. He'll be back. He'll be healthy. He's ready to go. He had a full offseason to heal up. But now it's like, okay, 2 years in a row where he's dealing with soft tissue injury after soft tissue injury, missing time, going on IR, coming back. Like, you don't know what you're going to get out of him. When he plays, he's great, but I'd rather, you know, get a few less points every time, but actually have a starter every week.
Right. There's definitely enough concern at this point that it's not a foregone conclusion that he's the 101 next year in redraft like he was this year. This year, no one was worried. They were like, okay, no big deal.
Yeah, that'll be fun to talk about as the season goes on and in the offseason where we're drafting CMC. We'll put a bookmark on that and come back to it. But Eric, calf injuries are apparently buy one, get one free for running backs in Cleveland. Talk to me about Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, I mean, calf injuries are no joke, dudes. I think I've told this story on one of our first pods together, and I'll reiterate it here, which is Kevin Durant, when he was with the Golden State Warriors, began reporting calf tightness as he was heading into the NBA Finals. And the team's medical staff did such a good job. They did their job so well that they relieved his calf tightness and KD was able to play the next game. And we all know what happens in that next game. He tore his Achilles. So calf tightness, calf muscle injuries, these are all pathologies on the spectrum of hind leg mechanical overload issues. And if we don't respect them early, we could end up with catastrophe. You know, that's why it's so important to place these guys who are far enough along the spectrum of injury on the IR right away, like Kareem Hunt. It's that important. So I know that Nick Chubb has already been ruled out for Thursday. Kareem Hunt is on the IR, so he'll be out for at least 3 games. It's tough to say. You know, it's really, really tough to say because you have to respect this as a legitimate injury. It's not something that you necessarily want to push through.
Yeah. For you guys, who's the next man up in this situation? Is it D'Ernest Johnson or is it somebody like Demetric Felton? Or do we think it's all going to just be pass, pass, pass?
No.
They're such a run-heavy team, I can't see them just like flipping their scheme over.
Yeah.
Especially in a short week.
I think they're built to be, you know, two running back, two tight end, you know, system. And I think that D'Ernest Johnson is the most true runner. I think that Demetric Felton, I think, didn't he play wide receiver in college?
He was. Yeah, he's, I'm not sure. It probably depends on the app that you use, but I know on Yahoo, I was looking at him on a Yahoo league earlier. He's listed as wide receiver or running back eligible.
Yeah. So for me, it's all about, you know, who do you think will get more touches if you're going to rely on one of these guys? Because, you know, I think that D'Ernest is going to get the rushing touches and Demetric might get more receiving work.
Yeah. All right, Matthew, as we're talking about all these top running backs getting hurt, we can't brush over Saquon Barkley. As before, we didn't have a show last week, so we didn't get to talk about it too much. But what's going on with his ankle injury, and are we going to keep riding the Devontae Booker train?
Is Saquon just super unlucky? Because yes. That was such a freak ankle injury. Now, luckily for him, well, luckily, the mechanic is just a simple low ankle sprain. Obviously, they weren't worried enough to put him on IR, so that's a good sign. But just after the play, the ball whizzes by them. He just steps on someone's foot and pop goes the ankle. But yeah, I mean, I'm riding with Booker going forward, especially this week with there being not a whole lot of options if you're looking for waiver wire and with all the injuries. He was serviceable last week. I know they got blown out, but he still got his, so it wasn't great by any means, but you weren't disappointed. You weren't expecting a 30-point fantasy game from him anyway. But yeah, I think with Saquon, I could see him missing one more game, and then I would expect him to be back the following week. Usually, I know everyone was freaking out about the size of the ankle and how quickly it started swelling, but that's not super unusual for a low ankle sprain. My personal belief is it was probably a grade 2, which to our non-medical people out there, there's 3 grades. Grade 1 is when you just kind of roll it and it maybe swells just a little bit. Grade 2 can swell quite a bit, but grade 3 is where you completely rupture the ligament. So I would guess grade 2, just because if it was grade 3, I would have expected him to go on IR. Mm-hmm. And there to be more concern. So for me, I could see one more week, maybe 2 more weeks of no Saquon, and then he'll be back. But I'm riding with Booker till he's back, because honestly, at this point, there's not a whole lot of better options.
Yeah. In this situation, it's like the swelling looked terrible. And if you saw that picture, it's like, oh my gosh, the season's over. It's terrible. But that's a situation where I'd much rather see swelling like that than a disfigurement or misalignment like we saw with Dak Prescott injury, because you know what that is. Swelling is one of those things where it can go either way. Alrighty, last but not least for our running backs, Chris Carson in Seattle. Eric, he has a neck injury and he's going to be missing a significant amount of time. We know that. He's already on IR. What are we doing? Who are we riding with to replace him? Who do we have coming back?
Gosh, I mean, Alex Collins is still out there, right? Or is he out?
Yeah, well, he's dealing with a hip/glute injury, but I heard rumblings that we might get a return of Rashad Penny this week. Finally, can you rely on him?
No.
Does he scare you at all?
Yes, he scares me worse than any Halloween movie.
He would last one drive.
Happy Halloween, guys. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. The Chris Carson injury is weird. It sounds kind of like a cervical radic, which is really tough to come back from in the short medium term. I think that they'll push for Alex Collins to play, and if he doesn't, then I'm out. Like, I don't want anything to do with that backfield.
DJ Dallas doesn't interest you at all?
Well, especially not with Geno Smith back there. I mean, they're going to dare Geno Smith to pass, you know, and I think that it'll just be too easy to bottle him up. I don't think it'll be a high-scoring offense anymore.
Speaking of Geno Smith, I totally neglected to put Russell Wilson on this list. I guess it was the injury was from the week that we missed, but as many of you have hopefully already realized, Russell Wilson is out. He is on IR from this finger injury, correct? He's expected to miss several weeks.
Yes, he had surgery for it already, because he tore, what is it, mallet finger?
Right.
That's what he had, I think. Mm-hmm. So his finger looked like that.
Looks like
a mallet.
Tore this ligament right here, or tendon right there. Fun times.
So it's going to be the Geno show. Seattle's offense didn't quite look the same. Tyler Lockett didn't have his boom week. He's back to his bust weeks. DK's fumbling, trying to be a hero, and Shannon Sharpe's calling him out on Undisputed. So I don't know what to do with Seattle's offense. Avoid their running backs unless it's Alex Collins. Yeah. Alrighty. So on to the wide receivers. Let's kick it off with a rookie, Matthew, and Terrace Marshall in Carolina. He has a concussion. Obviously, this is one of those injuries that we would talk about as a non-linear injury because it can vary, kind of like a hamstring. But what are you hearing about Terrace Marshall?
So, yeah, I mean, he left the game with now a diagnosed concussion. So, really, with concussions, as I've spoken about quite a few times on the pod, and Kyle just mentioned, it's nonlinear, so it's not really a straightforward path to getting better. It's a step-by-step process in which you increase activity and seeing if you can handle activity. So, really, to me, concussions are almost the most important injury for like practice reports and stuff like that, because if they're getting in a full practice at the end of the week, then that means they're clearing protocol. If they're still limited towards the end of the week, then they might not be through protocol yet. So generally speaking, with a concussion, you have a pretty good idea towards the end of the week whether they're going to play on Sunday or not. Every now and then you get kind of a Daniel Jones situation that we had last week, in which I didn't think he would clear protocol, and then he did and didn't look great for the game. I'm going to trust that the Giants and the NFL were doing the right thing with the head injuries there, and that they're still doing it. But yeah, so it's one of those, he could be back next week or he could land on IR this week. You just kind of have to wait and see. Now, the good news is you're not playing Terrace Marshall in redraft. And if you are playing him in your dynasty league, you're probably competing for that first overall pick.
Or your league is really deep.
Or really deep. I love Terrace Marshall, but he just hasn't been getting it done this year. I love him for the future, but... yeah, hey, it's not a whole lot to.
Yeah, he's not going to be yielding a ton of work to other starters in Carolina.
Exactly.
I wouldn't be really excited if I was a DJ Moore manager. Like,
maybe this helps his run. Maybe this helps Robbie Anderson though. Finally, back on track. Terrace Marshall's targets maybe go towards him, but who knows?
Yeah, if anybody, I would expect it to be him. Alrighty, Eric. This one just hurts me to talk about.
Heartbreaker.
I love Paris Campbell so much. And you guys were talking about unlucky. He's to me, he's another one that falls in that category. I refuse to put the injury prone label on anybody. It grossed me out even saying it. But what's going on with his foot?
Yeah, this poor guy. I mean, I feel like we talk about him on almost every pod. He's honestly one of the most talented, gifted players on that team, and he just can't stay healthy. He's already had two seasons where an acute injury ended his year abruptly, and I think they'll do everything they can to bring him back by the end of the year, but like I'm telling you, that foot injuries are tough to come back from without significant rest. I'm hoping for the best, but I'm counting on the worst, you know, for this guy. I'm not optimistic for him rest of season.
Yep. That hurts to hear, but who are you looking at to replace him and get more run in that offense?
You know, honestly, I think that Michael Pittman, he's been having some good weeks. I think he's been, you know, doing well as a sophomore, progressing the way that a lot of people have been hoping to. I think that it might also go to their running backs or possibly Mo Alie-Cox.
Yeah, Mo Alie-Cox has looked good in the past couple of weeks, and it would be kind of nice to see Nyheim Hines get some more run and getting some receiving works. If you're in a really deep league, Michael Strachan, I'm going to murder his name.
Strachan.
You know who I'm talking about. He might be one to keep an eye on, but not somebody that I'm really hopefully I don't have to rely on him. All righty. Yeah. Back to the rookie wide receivers, Matthew. Kadarius Toney in New York. The Giants receiving core is, I guess, the wide receiver equivalent of Baltimore's backfield. They just can't keep a healthy player at wideout. What's going on with Kadarius Toney?
I was actually just about to make that same comment, so that's funny.
It's sad, man.
It really is. Yeah, Kadarius Toney, he aggravated his ankle. He had an ankle injury the previous week. He re-aggravated it. Supposedly, he re-aggravated it worse than he did before. So we'll just have to wait and see. I mean, that receiving group just can't catch a break. And Kadarius Toney was kind of looking as the go-to target in that offense, at least against Dallas he was. And then before he left the game, he was making a lot of people look dumb in the fantasy community, me included. But yeah, so we'll just have to wait and see what kind of how bad this is. I hope they don't run into a situation where they're throwing him out there because their receiving core is so beat up anyway, where they're like, well, you know, him at 75% is still better than this practice squad player at 100%. And then he just keeps re-aggravating it. But I don't think they'll do that, but we'll just have to see. And it's kind of unfortunate because he was starting to, even in redraft circles, being picked up and played. But yeah, just keeps re-aggravating it, and we'll hopefully recover.
Yeah, New York's offense, with the exception of Daniel Jones, doesn't really provide me much hope for fantasy relevance this year. Alrighty, updates. We've got a whole bunch of guys to talk about for updates on people coming back. So I'm just going to kind of dust through them real quick. What's the likelihood we see any of these guys this week, and can we count on them? Jarvis Landry being the first one.
I'm expecting him in my lineups either this week or next. I think he's one that you just, you know, watch his participation in practice all week.
Yeah, he's always been a volume guy, so especially in PPR formats. Obviously, his volume hasn't been the same in Cleveland as it was when he was in Miami, but he's somebody that if he's available and I need a flex start, I'm not shying away from starting him if Baker ends up starting.
Yeah, especially this week.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he's back this week, but I think it's probably the next week, especially since they're on Thursday game.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Short week, you may or may not. So keep an eye on it. Don't rely on him. Check it before the game starts. All right, Jerry Jeudy. He is one that I was very excited about this year. And as a Cortland Sutton manager, obviously I would never cheer for somebody to go down. But when he went down, I was like, all right, Cortland Sutton's going to get those targets. But now that he's coming back, I'm curious if it's going to kind of have the like AB Juju effect where it's like, because there's that stud on the other side, both of them are going to be able to eat because you can't just double team the best receiver on the team. Do y'all kind of get the same vibe with that, or am I crazy?
I mean, I
don't answer the second part of the question.
I wouldn't go quite that far to compare them to AB and Juju that fantastic year. But yeah, I mean, they're both studs and I love Jeudy. I don't think he plays this week just based upon what we're hearing, but I think he'll be back sooner rather than later at this point.
Yeah. I mean, I think your best case comparable is Amari Cooper CD, you know, that kind of tandem, you know, maybe not to that elevation, but that kind of 1-2 punch. But I feel the same with Jeudy as I feel with Jarvis Landry. You know, I think it's very possible he plays this week. But just you got to watch the practice reports. It's probably next week, but it's possible this week.
All righty. Going to Detroit, another wide receiver room that is just banged up as can be. Tyrell Williams is expected to clear the concussion, or he has cleared concussion protocol, I believe, and he should be coming back off of IR this week. Is he somebody that you're willing to put in your flex?
I don't really want to be playing any of the Detroit receivers, but he'll have a role when he comes back. But yeah, it's not a role wise, I want a part of.
Yeah, depth chart wise, for me in Detroit, he seemed like the best option at receiver coming into the year. Now, I'm not sure if there is a good option at receiver. So, I mean, DeAndre Swift and TJ Hawkinson can't be the only ones to touch the ball. Somebody's got to catch it. So if I'm super hurt by bye weeks injuries, then I might be willing to throw him the flex. But I'm hoping that he's not somebody I have to rely on week to week.
Yeah, that's just like your opinion, though, man.
Yeah, that doesn't count for much. All righty. New Orleans has been without arguably their franchise player, Michael Thomas, as well as Traquan Smith for a little while now. Are we finally going to see Michael Thomas come back?
Not this week.
Yeah, I think he's still a little bit away, honestly. Yeah. I mean, it was a pretty significant surgery. I'm not all too certain that Michael Thomas feels a ton of loyalty to the team after how they handled it pre-injury. I think he's going to bide his time, you know, be fully healthy and come back and smash. You know, he'll be that playoff week, you know, guy on your roster. But I'm not too certain that he'll be rushing it.
this is kind of a tinfoil cap theory, but I'm kind of curious if he's going to go the Stephon Gilmore route and just be like, oh, no, I'm not ready, and try to weasel his way out and go somewhere else.
The only Washington football team issue with doing that is he really needs to show that he can still do it, which I believe he can, but for a team to want to pay him big money to come there and be the guy for them.
Yeah, it's kind of bizarre for a player of that level to go from like peak performance to just forget how to play football. But you never know. Markelle Fultz forgot how to shoot a basketball between college and the NBA, and we saw how that went.
Allen Robinson this year.
Oh, gosh.
Do not put that evil on him. Allen Robinson is a stud. Penn State product.
Look, don't put that bad juju on him. Juju's bad enough this year. Hey-o.
Hey!
Alrighty.
Speaking of a wide receiver injury.
Somebody's a dad in this group. Alrighty. So kind of a late addition to the injuries this week was Dawson Knox, who's listed as he came out of the game last night with a hand injury after throwing a 2-point conversion to Josh Allen. I have the Josh Allen and Dawson Knox stack in one league. Oof. And when I got the alert and it said Dawson Knox passed to Josh Allen 2-point conversion, I was like, what? So I was not able to watch the game. I was like, what the heck? And I thought it was like a typo alert from the app, and I went back and looked. I was like, okay. And the next thing I know, Dawson Knox is out. I'm like, great. So Eric, what's going on with his hand?
Yeah, I mean, Dawson Knox has been a real surprise to me all season. He's been getting used heavily in an offense, and he's been super, super productive, and one that's, you know, one of the most high scoring offenses this year. But he broke a bone in his hand, and I think broken bone sounds like he'll be out for a while, but honestly, small breaks like this get played through quite frequently in the NFL. They might keep him out, you know, up to a month. I think it'll definitely be less, but up to a month just to manage the initial inflammatory phase and, you know, make sure that the bone's healing isn't getting complicated for any reason. But, you know, he'll be back out there sooner than later. I think you just follow the practice reports and listen to what the coaches are saying.
Yeah, and with a bye week this week, hopefully he can get a little bonus week to heal up. You weren't counting on him being in your lineup this week, so you'll only miss him for a few. All righty. Extra injury news. There's not a whole lot of fantasy relevant stuff, but some good news injury wise. Daryl Taylor and Taylor Lewan, Daryl Taylor, defensive lineman for the Seahawks, was carted off on Sunday with a neck injury, and all the MRIs, CTs, everything came back. The team reported everything came back clear. He doesn't have a neck injury, anything. So that is excellent news for Seattle.
Awesome.
And then last night we saw Taylor Lewan get carted off. Kind of a similar scene. Watching the replay, it didn't look like much. It was just kind of like he got dinged on the back of the head, but then they ended up carting him off. I haven't seen any official reports from the team or anything, any testing, but on his personal Twitter, he tweeted out that he's okay. So hopefully some good news in Tennessee as well. Always scary to see players get carted off like that and not know whether they're fantasy relevant or not. Obviously, you know, if we didn't have injuries, we wouldn't have a whole lot to talk about as injury analysts, but that would be great if there weren't injuries. So good to get some good news in the injury realm.
For sure.
All right. Let's close this out and have a little bit of fun, guys. Let's get back to trivia. Woo.
Trivia.
It's been a few weeks since we've been able to do some trivia, but I'm excited for this one. I think I might be able to stump you again. We'll see, though. We'll see. You guys are pretty smart.
Terrell Owens.
Daniel Jones.
As a review, negative 1 point for each. All right, as a review, you're tied. It is 6-6 on the season here. So, are we ready? You have your pen and paper ready?
I definitely don't, but I'm going to type it in the chat.
All right, excellent. There we go. We can type it in the chat, and I will read
That's
it aloud.
That's a good idea, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, y'all can just do that, just whatever you want to do.
Count down and send it at the same time?
Okay.
There you go.
Someone has to yell, send it.
We'll have to add in a drop for that later. Alrighty, so here we go. Cue the music. Lane Kiffin made quite an impression in Knoxville this weekend, returning to the stadium where he once coached the Tennessee Volunteers. Stay with me here. We're starting in college. It'll get to the NFL. All right, the fans erupted after a review of a spot of the ball play that did not go their way. They started throwing objects on the field. There were water bottles, beer cans, a mustard bottle, and then a stray golf ball that almost struck Kiffin. So prior to his NCAA ventures, Lane Kiffin was on coaching staffs for two separate NFL teams. For a point each, name the two NFL teams in which Lane Kiffin has coached in the NFL. He was a quality control coach for one of them in 2000. He was head coach for a year for another in 2007.
Oh, a head coach for a year?
Mm-hmm. Which teams were really bad in 2007?
Matthew was like 13 years old.
I was?
Yeah. Ooh.
Well, depending on what part of 2007, I may have been 14.
Well, it would have been in the fall.
Oh, 14-year-old Matthew.
That was
what
smart,
a time.
Matthew.
What a time that was.
Alrighty.
I'm ready.
Lock your answers in. Are we ready? Alrighty. Are we ready? You got them typed out? Alrighty. Send it.
Ooh.
Alrighty. Eric. Eric says... Family program. I can't write that out.
Joke for us.
Alrighty. Eric says the Cleveland Browns and the New England Patriots.
I just figured Matthew everyone that is good comes from them.
Yeah. All right. Matthew says the Cleveland Browns and the Jacksonville Jaguars. I did not stump Matthew on one of them. He was a quality coach in 2000 for the Jacksonville Jaguars before he went into the NCAA for the first time when he ventured over to USC as a coordinator and then eventually a head coach. And then he made his way back to the NFL with the Oakland Raiders, where he was the coach for a year in 2007.
Dang. How did you get the Jags? I was just trying to think of a really bad team.
Al Davis tried to force him to sign resignation papers, and he said no.
That's literally the reason I put both of them.
They tried to force him to resign in Oakland, at the time Oakland, not Las Vegas, and he refused to sign the papers, which actually ended up costing him about $2 million the next season because he didn't just resign. Yes.
Never mind.
All righty. So, bonus points here. So Lane Kiffin is linked to Nick Saban from his three-year stint as an offensive coordinator at the University of Alabama. What NFL teams has Nick Saban been on a staff with during his career? 1 point each. There are three teams for which Nick Saban was on the coaching staff for. He was a defensive backs coach.
I think I know one of them.
From 88 to 89. He was a defensive coordinator from 91 to 94, and he was a head coach from 2005 to 2006. Three stints in the NFL. Can you name the three teams?
I'm ready.
Matthew's got a point on the board. Eric, you're playing from behind. Got to clutch up here.
I'm not quite there.
It's a gut feeling, and it's totally right.
What were the years?
They're a point each. Get all three. He was a defensive backs coach from 88 to 89. He was a defensive coordinator in 91 to 94. He was a head coach in 05 and 06.
It's an awful lot of typing over there.
We got our answers ready.
All right, I'm ready. Well, I have to type out all 32 teams.
You can only guess three teams. All righty, Eric. Okay. Let's see. Eric has tied it up. It will be a tie at 8-8. Eric said the Dolphins, the Eagles, and the Browns. Matthew said the Browns, the Patriots, and the Raiders. The correct answers were the Houston Oilers, for which he was a defensive backs coach in 88 and 89. The Cleveland Browns, where he was a defensive coordinator under Bill Belichick from 91 to 94. And with the Dolphins, he was a head coach from 05
yes!
to 06.
Nailed it.
So Eric gets Dolphins and Browns there. Matthew just gets the Browns. So we're tied at 8. So next week, we'll see if we can break this stalemate. You guys are just...
Dang.
You're going to force my hand. I'm going to have to get both of you a participation trophy instead of getting one guy some kind of prize. We'll figure it out by the end of the year. Well, that does it for us in the Next Man Up this week. This was a great episode. A long one, but a good one. gentlemen, let's close this out as we always do with our social media handles. Eric, where can the folks find you on Twitter?
All right. I am the Nighthawk PT. You can find me on Twitter at @FF_Nighthawk.
Matthew, where can we find you, sir?
Find me on Twitter at @FantasyFerret.
All righty. And again, my name is Kyle Allen. Thank you guys for tuning in. If you didn't tune in, you're listening to this recorded afterwards. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it. As you're hearing these sweet tunes play behind me, shout out to johncmusic@gmail.com for all of our intro and outro music. Once again, my name is Kyle Allen. You can find me on Twitter @KAllen_4. And don't forget that the best ability is availability. Peace.